Well, here it is, the last day of our gospel meeting with Brother Ronnie Whittemore. And even though I'm recording this before the meeting has begun, I can assure you that Brother Ronnie has done an outstanding job Friday and Saturday night, if the Lord tarried in his coming, that is. And so I hope that you'll be able to join in with us today at 9:30, 10:30, a potluck lunch you'll really appreciate, and then 1 p.m. to close out the meeting. So we look forward to having you with us. Now, I've been preaching here at Morgan Street a series on the greatest memorial, that, of course, being the Lord's Supper. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, we need to remember what Jesus endured to make our salvation possible. This do in remembrance of me, Luke 22:19. So we want to ask this question this morning for our study. What would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? And we'll want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we should be certainly doing just that, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as, yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention. We look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're going to Mark 15, beginning at verse 29, going through 34, for our study this morning as we want to ask this question and answer it by the Word of God. What would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? As we begin now in verse 29 of Mark 15, "And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That should shake us all to our very bones. Our Lord and Savior cried this out as he was bearing my sins, your sins, the sins of the world on him. And the Father could not step in and stop it, or we would have no salvation. And so that's something we want to look at now and asking this question: what would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? Number one, there would be no salvation. Our salvation is possible only by the sacrifice of Christ, as there was no other way. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Now, how many ways are there to God in heaven? One is the correct answer. And so, by dying on the cross as the Lamb of God for the atonement of our sins, Christ appeased God's wrath. He was the propitiation for our sins, meaning he was the appeasement of God's wrath. Yes, God in the flesh, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Notice Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans 5:8-10. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Well, something else in answering this question: what would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? There would be no church of Christ, because salvation is in the church, which was purchased with the blood of Christ. Notice with me Romans 6:3-6. Excuse me. Romans 6:3-6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so we're added to the body of Christ when we're obedient to the gospel, and contacting the blood of Christ is there in that watery grave as we're dying to sin, and we come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And the Lord himself adds us to what? To his church. And the Lord added daily to the church. There was only one church to add to, the first century, which was the church of Christ. It's his body. It's his blood that purchased it. And he is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. We put on Christ. How? In baptism, Galatians 3:27. So we need to appreciate this very fact. If Christ had have came down from the cross, there would be no church of Christ. What a terrible thought. No salvation and no church of Christ. Well, you know, it's sad to say this, but most people do not even care about the one true church you read about in the Bible, because they're believing a lie. That's right. Satan wants us to believe there are many different churches, and it doesn't matter which one you attend or belong to. Well, Jesus promised to build my church, he said in Matthew 16:18. That eliminates all others that man has come up with. He did build his church. And you see on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that's when it began in the first century, there on that particular day of Pentecost. Where? In Jerusalem. Not any other city did it begin, as all the others did. And so you see in Ephesians 4:4, how many bodies are there? One. If we're going to be honest, that's what the scriptures say, one body. And that's all the body that Jesus has, one. And these are not difficult questions. The answer is clearly one. How many churches did Jesus promise to build? One. How many bodies does Jesus have? One. Let's stay with the truth. Something else that we can mention here in answering the question, what would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? Well, there would be no hope. Imagine having to face death with no hope. Have you ever read what well-known atheists have said shortly before their death? Boy, it wasn't pretty, was it? It wasn't pleasant. Look at Ephesians 2:12 with me. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that's a terrible thought. Without any hope. Without God, that's the situation people are in. They have no hope until they submit to the gospel of Christ. And had Jesus came down from the cross, there would be no hope. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So that's a terrible thought, isn't it? No hope. Boy, don't want to dwell on that very long. Truly, the world would be a horrible place to live in if everyone, and now I know a lot of people are certainly living for self with the survival of the fittest mindset and the philosophy, this old philosophy of do whatever you please, because it does not matter what you do. Well, it's true, a lot of people are living like that, but what if everyone did? What kind of world would that be? I don't want to think about that very long, do you? Remember who's the prince of this world. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Terrible thought, is it not? What would have happened had Jesus come down from the cross? No salvation, no Church of Christ, no hope. But let's move on. Let's get to what did happen on the cross. In fact, let's just ask the question. What did happen on the cross? First of all, Jesus endured the cross for us all. Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Powerful, is it not? Jesus endured the cross for us all. In Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that prophecy certainly was fulfilled excuse me, while Jesus was on the cross. 1 Peter 2, 22 through 24. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus bore the burden of all the sins of the world. That's right. All the sins of the world. And what a great burden that was, as we saw there in Mark 15, verse 34. But notice what happened on the cross was not only the endurance that Jesus certainly went through, but what was his attitude while he's on the cross. As Jesus prayed to God the Father, his Father in heaven, he had a beautiful attitude of forgiveness. Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots there at his feet. The Roman soldiers did. Well, when was this prayer of Jesus answered? We would want to ask that, would we not? Acts 2:23, him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have slain, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Well, they were guilty. The Jews present that day were guilty. The Romans present that day were guilty. Of course, we're all guilty before God when we become a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But the prayer of Jesus was answered when those present on that day repented of their sins, made the good confession, and obeyed the gospel. They believed once Peter preached the sermon of the gospel of Christ and the other apostles as well. They believed it, and they were pricked in their heart and cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told to repent, because they already believed. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Forgiveness of sins. So that's when they were forgiven, when the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's right. Verse 47 of Acts 2. What happened on the cross was the fulfillment of the plan of salvation, as it was God's purpose. The plan of redemption started to unfold when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. As you go back to Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy of Christ. Jesus did not fail in his mission, as the premillennialists imply. They're implying this, whether they would actually say that he failed in his mission. No, I don't think they would want to say that, but they're sure implying it when they say that Jesus went to plan B, that he didn't, of course, bring forth the kingdom as he had said he would. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus told the truth. The premillennialists are the ones not telling the truth. Jesus did not fail in his mission. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He had completed his Father's will. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. God never fails. And thus God predestinated the plan, not the elect, as the Calvinists say. No, the plan. Look at Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 with me. According as he hath chosen us, where? In him. That's in Christ, isn't it? Before the foundation of the world. That was the plan of God. that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So by obeying the gospel, yes, we're able to be in Christ. And that's what was predestinated, the plan. But now let's ask this question. What should happen because of the cross? Well, we should realize, number one, God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all should know that verse. But what does it really mean to us? Well, what does my life say? Do I respond to the love of God? Am I realizing God's love? I should, because of what took place on the cross. If someone saved my life, how am I going to respond to that person? By being indifferent or not very grateful? No, I'm going to be very appreciative. And I'm going to want to show them how much I appreciate it. I'm certainly not going to be indifferent. But how many people today are indifferent to the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God? They're too busy to realize God's love. Well, Jesus does not twist our arm. He simply says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28 following. That's the invitation of Christ. He doesn't twist our arm, though. We can respond or we can refuse it. Go about our business as if it doesn't matter. But again, we're asking what should happen because of the cross. We should realize God's love. And we should, number two, respond to God's love. As you go to 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. How do we respond to the love of God? Well, again, what does my life say? Number three, what should happen because of the cross? We should be motivated not only to love God, but this would follow right along with that love, and that is to do good works, not meritorious works, thinking we can earn our salvation. That's eliminated in Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But as you go to verse 10 in Ephesians 2, you'll notice that we're created into what? Works of righteousness. We need to be involved in works of righteousness. Notice Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us. Now, let's start again. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's works of righteousness. That's what's included in our salvation. Works of merit are excluded. Works of the flesh, they're excluded. Works of the law of Moses, they're excluded. We should understand the difference. This is included works. Works of righteousness. Good works. So we need to be motivated to do good works to God's glory. And four, as we're again asking what should happen because of the cross, we should bear our own cross. Let's go to Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, Jesus did, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Three things. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross. How often? Daily. And follow him. Follow Christ. So, we've answered the questions. What would have happened had Jesus came down from the cross? There would be no salvation. There would be no Church of Christ. Thus, there is no hope. We would all be destined for hell, for eternity. But we went on to ask the second question. What did happen on the cross? And that is, Jesus endured the cross, for he saw it was joyous to him to see what could result by him giving of himself. And we needed to appreciate that. We needed to appreciate his attitude that was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so we see what happened on the cross fulfilled the plan of salvation as it was God's purpose. And then thirdly, we just ask this, what should happen because of the cross? We should realize God's love, and we should respond to God's love. We should be motivated to do good works, and we should bear our own cross. That is, put to death anything that keeps us from putting God first and his kingdom. Matthew 6:33. So, have we responded to God's great love by obeying the gospel? We stand ready to assist you. Today would be a good day to attend our services with the gospel meeting going on. Are we remembering what Jesus did for us? And again, what does my life say? If you have not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. We'll study further. But we've got to hear the truth. There's no other way faith can come. Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God who died for our sins. And thus, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Now, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior, we're motivated to repent and make a change of wills. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented of our sins, changed our will, now we're ready to do God's will. Now we're ready to make the good confession that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Now, unto salvation. Here's the next step that puts us into Christ, where we contact his precious blood, to be baptized for the remission of our sins, as we saw in Acts 2:38, Romans 6:3-6, so many passages, Galatians 3:27. Then we need to live faithfully, even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.